This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchos Shabbos, Chapter 10. This chapter contains 25 halachos. In this chapter, the Rambam continues the material of the previous two chapters, in which we are listing the individual categories of melacha and learning them in greater depth and detail. In the previous two chapters, we learned the first 20 melachas, and here we continue with the next 8 melachas. Halacha Aleph, HaKosher, the melacha that we're up to now is tying knots. HaKosher Kesher Shel Kayama, one who ties a knot, which is a permanent type of knot, V'hu Masei Uman, that means the kind of a knot that's tied by some professional craftsman, Chayav. He is guilty and he is punished for doing this melacha. Kegoin, for example, of what kind of knot we mean, Kesher Hagamolim, the kind of knot that camel drivers use to tie up the camel, the Kesher Hasaponim, and the knots that sailors use to tie up the boat or to tie the sails, v'kishrei ritzuos minel v'sandal, and the knots that are used in the stitching and the lacing of various kinds of shoes and boots, shekoshim haratzonim b'shas asiyoson, the kind that are tied, the kind of knots that the shoemakers and bootmakers tie while they are making the boots. We don't mean the laces that you put the shoes on with. V'chein kol kayotzi bazen, so any similar type of knot which is used by some professional artisan or craftsman in doing his craft. Aval hakosher kesher shel kayama, however, one who ties a knot, which is a permanent type knot, but not of a kind used by a professional craftsman, potter, he is not punished, even though this is still forbidden. However, a knot that is not a permanent kind of knot, nor is it a kind of knot that is used by a professional craftsman, muta lekoshri lechatchila. It is, to begin with, permissible to tie such a knot. Halacha beis, ketzad. For example, nifsika loy ritzua, if the lace on a shoe breaks, vikoshra, and he ties it together, nifsika hevel, or a rope that he's using for something, breaks and he ties the two ends together, or a rope was tied onto a pail in order to lower the pail into a well, or the reins of the bridle of an animal were tied in, he is not punished for this, because none of these knots are professional knots. Nevertheless, it's forbidden because all of these are meant to be there permanently. It's not the kind of a knot that he intends to untie later. And so the same law applies to any similar type of knots, which are done by amateurs, and any kind of person ties this sort of knot, but it's tied with the intent that it will be there permanently. However, any knot that is not a permanent knot, if he tied it the kind of a knot that a professional uses, even though it's not permanent, hareza osir, it is forbidden. Harlocha gimel, koysheres isha maftechei hacholuk, afal pi sheyesh lo shnei psochim. This is a kind of a cloak that a woman wears, in which the hem on the left side is brought up and tied to the right shoulder, and the hem from the right side is brought up and tied to the left shoulder, and a woman is permitted to make this kind of a knot and tie this together like this when she puts on this cloak, even though it's tied and untied on both sides, and therefore it's possible to put on the cloak and take it off while only opening one side and leaving the other side tied, and therefore you might think that these are permanent type knots, since it's not necessary to untie them. Nevertheless, since customarily when you take off such a cloak, she unties it on both sides, all of the knots are considered non-permanent knots. V'chutei svocha, Similarly, the knots that I used to fasten on a net-like cap onto her head, even though this cap is worn loosely on the head, and it can be put on and taken off without untying the knots, nevertheless, since customarily she will untie the knots are not considered permanent. Also, the laces of shoes and boots that are tied onto the foot when putting them on, these are not the knots that are tied by the shoemaker when making the shoe, but the knots that are tied when putting the shoes on, these are also non-permanent knots because they have to be untied when you take the shoe off. V'noides yayin v'shemen, and flasks for wine and oil, these are flasks that are made like pouches out of skin, and the neck of it, the opening, is tied closed with a rope, with a string. Even though the drawstring is knotted on two sides, and it's possible to untie only one side and pour out the wine or the oil, nevertheless, usually both sides will be untied, and therefore on both sides the knots are non-permanent knots. Ukedeira shel bosor, and a pot for meat. The pots that they cooked meat in used to have a hole on the side so that the soup and gravy could be poured out from that through that hole on the side, and this was tied over with a cloth, and that lid of the pot was tied down in order to prevent ants from coming in. And the knots that I used to tie down the lid are non-permanent knots, because in order to remove the meat, you have to take the lid of the pot off, so you have to untie the knots. And even though it's possible, although it's not easy, it is possible to remove the meat through the little hole in the side. Nevertheless, usually the meat is removed by taking the lid off, and therefore the knots that tie down the lid are non-permanent knots. Even though it is possible to remove the meat without untying the knot, nevertheless, it's considered a non-permanent knot. And a pail, a bucket, can be tied up with a piece of string or with a belt or something like that, but not with a rope. And you can tie up the door to the stall in front of an animal so that it cannot go out, or you can tie a rope to the animal's feet so that the animal can't escape. And even though there are two ropes that are tied over here, because the ropes are put across the doorway, one higher and one lower, and even though it's possible to remove only the lower rope, and the animal can squeeze its way through and get out when you have to remove the animal from the stall, nevertheless, we do not say that the top rope is therefore a permanent rope. We say that the top rope is normally removed also, and therefore all the knots are non-permanent. V'chevel shehoya kosher v'pora, and a rope or a string that is tied at one end onto a cow, koishroi ba'evus, he can take the other end and tie it to the feeding trough so that the animal is tied up here, because this kind of rope is usually left tied to the cow, and he will remove the other end from the feeding trough. Hoya kosher be'evus, and a rope that's generally left with one end tied to the feeding trough, koshri lapara, he can tie the other end to the cow, because since this rope is normally tied only to the feeding trough, he will untie the cow in the end. However, one may not bring a rope from the house that has not been tied to either end, and tie the two ends, one to the cow and one to the feeding trough. Because since now the cow can be loosed by removing either one end from the cow or removing the other end from the feeding trough, and it is normal to leave a rope hanging from the cow or a rope hanging from the feeding trough, one end or the other may end up being permanent, and therefore it's not permitted to tie the knots this way. If it is a rope that is used by weavers, and a weaver needs it for his craft, shemuta letaltalei, and it's under conditions in which this is not muktzah, and it's permitted to move about such a rope, which we will learn the details in a later chapter, since the weaver needs this rope, we are not afraid that it's going to be left there permanently. It's then permitted to bring the rope and tie it at the two ends, one to the cow and one to the feeding trough. Why are all these permitted? Because all the knots mentioned in this halacha are non-professional knots. They are done by amateurs, and they are not permanent knots. They are knots that are tied. Sometimes you tie it, and sometimes you will untie it. And therefore, it's permitted altogether to tie them. We need not worry about it. Baskets that are tied together, and these baskets are made out of date leaves, and they are tied together with a string, and they are made to contain dates or figs, and in order to remove the dates or figs from it, you have to untie it. Matir, it's permitted to untie this, umafkia, and to take apart the basket, vechoitech, or to cut into the basket, venoitel voichel, and you can take out the fruit and eat it. Halocha dalud, kol sheroi lemachal behemo, muta liksheroisei b'shabbos. Any material that is edible, that can be used for animal consumption, may be tied on Shabbos. Lefichach, and therefore, im nifzikah ritzua sandole bekarmelis, if someone's shoelace was broken on Shabbos, we're talking here not the laces that we use today, but laces that hold the shoe together, and it was broken or torn on Shabbos, and he cannot tie this up again because this is a professional knot. Nevertheless, noitel gemi lach, you can take a soft type of a rubber, haroi lemaichel behemo, which is edible by animals, and it's used for animal consumption, v'koirich olov, and you can wind it around the two, a piece of this around each end of the broken string, v'koisher hagemi, and then you tie this rubber, because since it's edible by animals, there's no prohibition against tying it. Nishmeta loy ritzuas minol v'sandal, if the laces which hold the shoe or the boot together came out, or it came out to the extent that most of the foot, the majority of the foot, has come out of the shoe and cannot be, and it, the shoe will not stay on the majority of the foot, the shoe has fallen apart, it's permitted to put the laces back into place, however he may not tie it there. Halacha hei, ho'aniva, a loop or a bow, muteres, this is permitted. This means a knot that can easily be opened, and it's not a true knot. L'fisha'ena mischalefes b'kshira, we are not afraid that if he will be permitted to do this, he will end up tying a knot also. A loop or a bow is not mistaken for a knot. Lefichach, and therefore, hevel shenivsak, if a rope that one was using for some purpose broke, mekabit shnei ktzoisov, you can take together the two ends of the broken part, v'koyrech olav meshicha, and you can take a string and wrap it around it, v'oinev aniva, and you can finish it up with a loop that holds it in place, since it's not actually tied. Halacha vav, mutal liksha keshesha, enei shal kayoma, lidvar mitzvah. A knot which is not a permanent type of a knot, but nevertheless is a professional knot. And we said here that one is not punished for such a knot, but nevertheless it's forbidden. When needed for a mitzvah, it's permitted to tie such a knot. Kigoin, for example, sheyikshor limdoi chir mishayuri hatoira. If one has to tie a string that's needed to measure some dimension, and he needs to measure it in order to see whether there is a minimum quantity here required by the Torah. For example, nimas of another kind of a mitzvah that you might have to tie it for, nimas kinor shenifsak, the string of a harp that was broken. We're talking about the harp that's used in the Beis HaMikdash for the music that the Levim play. Koysher Moisa BaMikdash, it can be tied in the Beis HaMikdash. Avaloi BaMedina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash, because there is no mitzvah in playing the harp. V'lo Yikshor Nima Lechatchila Afilu BaMikdash. But here we're talking about only if the harp was already strung and one of the strings broke. But to begin with, to take a harp and strings in it is forbidden even in the Beis HaMikdash. Halacha Zayin, Kol Kesher Shechayovim al Kishurei Kachayovim al Heterei. Any kind of knot that we spoke about here, that one is guilty and he's punished for tying such a knot, he's also punished for untying it. Untying is the next malocha after tying. B'chol Kesher Shakoy Shirei Shepoter, and any kind of knot that we said is forbidden, but one who ties it is not punished. Kachamatiroi se potter. Similarly, one who unties it is not punished, even though it's forbidden. Cholkeshe shemuter lekoshrei. And any knot that we said here, it's permitted to tie it. Kachmuter lahatiroi. The same way, it's permitted to untie it. Halacha ches hapoisel chavolim, one who winds rope out of individual threads, min hahutzim, from threads made out of date palm leaves, umin hachelef, or from certain reeds out of which mattresses are woven, or michutei tzemer, or from threads of wool, or michutei pishton, or threads of linen, or michutei seir, or threads made out of hair, v'chayotzi bohem, or similar types of thread, hadeza teildes chesher, this is a derivative of the malacha of tying, v'chayov, and he is punished for it. V'shiyuroi, and the minimum quantity that he has to wind is kedei sheyamit achevel b'psilosei, a sufficient length of rope that it will remain wound up together b'loik shira, without having to tie the ends. Shenimtzis malachti miskayemis, because if it's that length, then his twisting of the rope will remain a permanent piece of rope. V'chein hamafrid es hapsil, similarly one who unwinds a twisted rope, hareiz atel des mater, this is a derivative of the malach of untying, v'chayev, and he's punished. V'hushalay es kavein lekalkel, but he's punished only if his intention is shalayis kavin lekalkel bilvad, is not solely to destroy the rope, but he has some constructive project in mind. Because if it's simply to destroy the rope, then, as we learned in chapter 1, he's not punished for this. V'shiyuroi kishir ha-pesel, and the minimum amount that he has to unwind is the same as the minimum amount that he would be punished for winding. Hatoife shtei tefiris, one who sews, the next malacha now, sewing, one who sews two stitches, chayev, he is punished for sewing. V'hu shekosha roshei hachut mikan umikan, but this is only if he tied the ends of the thread on both sides, kedei shetamit hatfira, so that the sewing remains permanent, the stitches are in there permanently, v'loisi shamit, and the thread with which he sewed will not come out. Avol im tofa yoiser al shtei tefiris, that requirement is however only if he did two stitches, because then it's liable to come out if he doesn't tie it. But if he sewed more than two stitches, aval pisha loy kosher, then the friction keeps it in there even without knots, and even though he didn't tie, chayev, he's punished. Sharei miskayemis hatfira, because a sewing that has more than two stitches in it will remain permanently. V'ha moiseach chut shal tefira b'shabbos, and one who stretches out the thread with which he has sewn on Shabbos, chayiv, he is punished also. That is, the thing is pulled tight and pulled taut after the sewing, he is punished with neishu mitzorcha hatfira. Even though the sewing was done before Shabbos, he stretches it now on Shabbos. This is part of the malacha of sewing, and he is punished. Halacha yud, hakireya, one who tears, kidei litfor shtei tfiris, for the purpose of sewing two stitches, kidei litfor shtei tfiris, and he tears a sufficient length in which two stitches could be sewn, al menos litfor shtei tfiris, and for the purpose of sewing it with two stitches, chayov, he is punished. Aval hakireya lahafsida, however, one who tears the cloth simply to destroy it, Potter. He is not punished, but neishu mekalkel, because he is destructive. Hakireya b'chamosei, however, one who tears the cloth out of his anger, oyal meis, or out of anguish and grief for someone who died, shehu chayiv lekroya alov, or he tears it because of the mitzvah of tearing one's garment when a close relative has died, or when his teacher who taught him Torah has died and he's required to tear his garment, chayiv, he is punished. But neisha meyashiv is daite, because here, even though he has destroyed it, he has done something constructive, he has calmed himself bedavazeh by doing this, v'yanuach yitzrei, and his yetzahara will leave him alone, and therefore he has done something constructive. V'hoyil v'chamosi sheicheches bedavazeh, and since he calms his anger with this, hareyu kemesaken, this is constructive, v'chayiv, and he's punished. V'hapiseach beis hatzah Saver b'Shabbos, and one who opens the opening of the neck of a garment on Shabbos, chayiv, he is punished. The custom used to be that when a tailor would finish the garment, and in order to show that the garment was brand new and had never been worn before, he would take the piece of cloth that had been cut out from the opening of the neck, and he would sew it in with coarse stitches so that everyone would know that this was a brand new, previously unworn garment. And removing this, even though it's being torn out, not for the purpose of sewing anything there, it's being torn out for the purpose of wearing the garment, nevertheless, this is a malacha of tearing, since it is a constructive malacha and part of the tailoring operation, and therefore he is guilty and he is punished. Ha'alocha yodalev, ha'medabik niyoris oyoris bekoilen shal seifrim, one who pastes together papers or pieces of parchment with glue that is used by scribes, or some other material which causes it to adhere, and he is not actually sewn with any stitches, this is a derivative of sewing, and he's punished. And so also one who separates papers that were glued together, or parchment that was glued together, and his intention is not simply destructive, but he has some constructive project in mind, this is a derivative of tearing, and he is punished for that. Now we get to the next Malacha, which is habayna, construction or building. Habayna kol shehu chayav, one who builds even in the slightest quantity is punished. Hamash v'pnei karka babayis, one who smooths out the ground inside a house, if it's outdoors, so of course the smoothing out the ground, as we learned, is part of the malacha of chayrish, of plowing, but here it's part of the malach of construction, kegoyin shehishpil pale. For example, there was a place in the floor that was higher than the rest, and he smoothed it out and made it lower, so that everything is at one grade, oy mile guma, oy gai, or there's a groove or a ditch there, and he filled it in order to make the contours of the floor smooth and straight. Harei zeboina, this is construction, v'chayev, and he's punished. Echod nosan es Evan, ve'echad nosan es hatit, in building, in construction, if one person puts down the stone and another person puts down the mortar, hanoisin hatit chayev, the person who put the mortar down is punished. Uvenidvach ha'elyoin, However, when you're up to the top row of the masonry, on which you don't put any more mortar, afilu helo aso even v'inicho al gabi hatit, then even if you just put the stone down on top of the mortar that's up top of the next to the last row of masonry, chayiv, he is punished, shahadei ein manichim alav titachem, because since no more mortar is going to be put on top, and this is the final piece of the construction, therefore he is punished. V'habuina al gabi kelim, one who builds a construction that's not on the ground, but it's on top of some utensil, potter, he is not punished for that. Halacha Yudalev, Oisa Oihel Kavua, one who forms a permanent tent, that is a permanent structure that's intended to remain there, but it's not made out of bricks or stone and mortar that's permanently fastened, but he simply takes some upright pieces and puts something over the top so that the thing could be taken apart. Nevertheless, it's meant to remain there permanently. Hareza teildes boine. This is a derivative of construction. V'chayov. And he is punished with that. V'chein hoise klei adoma. Similarly, one who makes some utensil, but he makes it out of the earth. Kigoin taner v'chovis. Such as ovens, the old-fashioned ovens that were made out of clay, and it's a large oven, v'chavis, or a barrel, koidim sheyisarfu, even before he has heated them in the kiln to finish them, nevertheless they can already be used. Hareza teil des beina, this is a derivative of construction, v'chayiv, and he is punished. V'chein ha-megabin es ha-gvino, and similarly, one who causes curdled cheese to form a solid mass, he makes a hard cheese, in other words, out of the soft cheese. We learned this already in chapter 1. Hareza teil des beina. This is a derivative of construction because he takes the particles of cheese curd and makes a solid body out of it. However, since this is intended for food, he is not punished unless he solidifies the cheese in the size of a fig. Hamachnis yad hakardim b'techayit shalei, one who puts the handle of a hatchet into the wooden head of the hatchet and he fastens the two together, since these are wood, hareza teil des beina, this is a derivative of construction, v'chein kol kayetzi boy, and so any similar action, v'chein hatekeya eitz be'eitz, and so any case where one puts two pieces of wood together by putting one into the other, bein shetoka b'masmer, either if he connects them by hammering a nail into them, bein shetoka be'eitz atzmoy, or whether he squeezes one piece of wood into an opening in the other, achen esached, until they become one, hareza teil des beina, this is a derivative of construction, v'chayev, and he is punished. Haloch yudalit, hois a nekev kol shehu, belul shal tarnegoilim, if one makes even a small hole in a coop that's made for chickens, kedesha tikonis lehem o'ira, in order to admit some light in there so that the chickens will not die, chayev mishum boina. This completes the structure, and he is punished for construction. Hamarzir delas shall boir v'shal dus v'shal yetzia, a thing that's not a building but is a natural thing in the ground, such as a boir, a cistern, v'shal dus, or a well that has stone walls around it, v'shal yetzia, or some balcony-like structure that extends from a wall, all of these things, if they have a door to them, if he hangs the door there, chayev mishum baina, he is punished for construction. Halochi tezvov, hasoiser kol shehu, now demolishing, the next malocha, if he demolishes even the slightest amount, chayev, he is punished. V'hu sheyister al menos livnais, but that's only if he has a constructive purpose in mind, if he is demolishing in order to clear the site for later construction. However, if he destroyed it and demolished it for destructive purposes, potter, then he's not punished, as we already learned that all destructive activity is not punished. Hasoiser oihel kavua, one who takes apart this permanent type of a tent, that is something that's not made permanently, it comes apart, but it was meant to be permanent, and he took it apart, or Shaparak Eitz Takua, or two pieces of wood that were stuck together to make something, and he takes them apart, this is a derivative of demolishing, v'chayev, and he's punished, but always only if he has some constructive purpose in mind, halocha tezayin, hamakeb patish, one who bangs with the hammer, hako achas, he bangs one time even, chayev, he is punished for that. Banging with the hammer, in making utensils, the final thing that the craftsman does is he bangs with the hammer to straighten out the rough edges, and if there are any uneven particles there that are left, they fall off from his banging, and this is the last thing that's done. V'chol ho'isa dover shehu gemar melocha, and whoever does any other kind of activity, which is the finishing touch to making something, ha'reza teil this makev apatish, it's a derivative of the melocha of banging with the hammer, v'chayev, and he's punished. Keitzad, for example, ha'menapeach b'chli zchuchis, someone who blows on some newly formed glass utensil in order to cool it off, the molten glass, v'hatzar b'chli tzura, and someone who takes a utensil and engraves or draws some design on it, afilu miktsas hatzura, even if it's only a partial design, v'hamegarid, or one who scrapes away or cuts away some uneven parts of a stone that's used for making something, kol shehu, if he does even the slightest amount, v'hois a nekev kol shehu, or he, someone who makes an opening, even a slightest opening, bein be'etz, bein be'matches, either in some wooden utensil or some metal utensil, bein be'binyon, or in some structure, bein be'kelim, or in some utensil of any sort, hareza teil this makeb apatish, this is a derivative of banging with the hammer, v'chayev, and he's punished, since that's the last thing that makes the utensil usable. V'chol pesach she'ine osi l'hachnes o l'hoitzi, however, any opening that's not made to take things out or put things in, ein chayav imalasi yosi, he is not punished for having made such an opening. Halochi yud zayin, hameifis shchin b'shabbos, one who lances a boil on Shabbos, kedei lahaychev pi hamaka, in order to widen the opening of the diseased part, kederech shaharifim oisim, the way physicians do it, shehem miskavnim barifua, because they intent of this surgery is laharchiv pi hamaka, to widen the opening so that it will heal. Harei zechayiv, he is punished for this. Mishumake bepatish, because this is a derivative of banging with the hammer. Shazuhi malechas haroifei, because this is the ultimate work that the physician does. V'im hafisa lahoitza mimena halecha shaba, if however he opened it, not so that it would be lanced and it would be open and it would heal, but in order to remove the pus that was inside, harei zemuta, this is permitted. Because since he is in pain, we permit this. Halocha yudches, hamasatis esoeven, one who scrapes a stone, kol shehu, even slightly, in order to scrape it to shape, chayev mishumake bepatish, this is, he is guilty and punished for banging with the hammer. Hametzadei desoeven biyaseid abinyan, someone who positions a stone in the foundations of a house, v'tikna biyodai, and he arranges it properly with his hand, v'yishiva b'mokim haroi lo, and positions it into the proper place and proper position, chayev mishumake bepatish, he is punished for banging with the hammer. Since this is the final thing that has to be done in the construction, haluiket yeboilus shal gabi begodim, one who collects lint or other such particles that are on cloth or garments, biyoda, if he does it by hand, kigoynelu hayeboilus shebichleit zemer, such as the lint that is found in woolen garments, usually chayav mishumake bepatish, he's punished for banging with the hammer. Vehu sheyakpid aleihem, but that's only if the garment is unsightly because of this, and it bothers him, and he wants it removed. Avolim hasiran derech esek, if however he was doing something else with the garment, and by the way, he happened to remove the lint, Harei ze poter, he's not punished for that. Hamenaya talis chadosha, one who takes a brand new talis, shechayra, a new black talis, and he shakes it out, kedeila na'oisa, in order to make it look nicer, ulahosir hatseven, tzemer haloven hanitla bo, and he shakes it out in order to remove the particles of white wool that are remaining adhering to it, the way the professional tailor does when he finishes the garment, chayiv chatas, he has to offer a sin offering because he has done the malacha of banging with the hammer. V'imeini makpid, if however he's shaking it out for some other purpose and he doesn't care about these particles of wool that fall off, mutar, then it's permitted. Halacha yutes, hatzod, now the next malacha is capturing animals. Hatzod dava she'et derech minei lotzud, I say, one who captures any creature which is, it is customary and the normal thing to capture such a creature, chayav, he is punished. Kigoin chayav, oifis v'dogim, for example, echaya, wild beasts, and oifis birds, v'dogim, and fish. V'hu sheyotzid oisam l'mokim sheinim b'chuset seida. That's only if he captures them in a place where they do not have to be captured again. That is, in a place where he now has them at hand. Keitzad, for example, kigoin sharoda v'achrei tzvi, if one chases after a deer, until he chased the deer into the house, or into an enclosed garden, or an enclosed courtyard, and now he locks the door behind him, or in front of it, and now the animal is trapped there and caught. Or he chased a bird and made the bird fly away until he got the bird into a cage and he locked the door before the bird. Or he pulled up fish with a net from the sea, b'seich seifel shalmayim, into some sort of a cup of water or some other utensil, harei ze chayiv, he is punished for that. Avalim hifriach tzipor labayis, if however he chased a flying bird into the house with all before of, and he locked the door for the bird, or shehevriach dog, or he chased a fish that was in the water, v'okri min hayam, and he chased it so that the fish was removed from the sea, lebrecha shalmayim, into a small brook of water, or sherodah v'acha hatzvi, or he chases a deer, ad shenichnas letraklen rochav, until he chases the deer into some huge open hall, v'noal b'fonav, and he closes the, locks the gate behind it, harei ze poter, now he is not punished, she'ein zut seide gemura, because he has not finished capturing it, she'im yovei lekachte, because now if he wants to get the animal or the bird or the fish, tarich lirdei fachrav, he has to go chase it again and catch it, v'lo tzedoi se misham, he has to capture it from the place where he has previously put it, l'fichach, and therefore Hatzod Ari, someone who captures a lion, Einei Chayev, Achich Nisenu Lekipa Shaloi, he is not punished until he brings the lion, unless he captures the lion and imprisons it in the small enclosed place where the lion is imprisoned. Shehu Neser, by the place where the lion is going to be locked up, because anything else is not yet captured. Halach Echov, Kol Mokim Shem Yoritz Bo Yagia Lechaya Bishechia Achas. Now, what do we call a small enough place that the animal is considered captured already? Any place where, if he runs into that place, he can get to the animal simply by bending over, or a place where the walls are so close to each other, until the shadow from the walls on the two sides falls in the middle, and the whole place is shaded at one time from the two walls, this is considered a small place, and if he chases the animal into there, the animal is captured. And so if he chases a deer or some other animal into this place, chayiv, he is punished. Umokim shul gadol mizeh, but a place that's larger than that, hamavriya chayiv oif leteichei, one who chases an animal or a bird into such a place, potter, he is not punished. Because in order to get it, he will still have to chase it further. Halacha chaf aleph, echot shmei nishrotzim ha'amurim b'teira, In the case of small creeping or crawling things, we do not differentiate here. The eight crawling or creeping things that are mentioned in the Torah and Parshas Shmini, or any other kind of crawling or creeping things, if it's normal to capture such a thing, Hatzod Echot Mikulam, anyone who catches or traps one of them, Bein Letzeirach, Bein Shaloi Letzeirach, regardless of whether he needs it for some purpose, or he doesn't need it for any constructive purpose, or lasachik b'hem, or he needs them simply to play with, chayav. Nevertheless, he is punished. Hoyil v'niskarvin latzud, since it was his intention to capture, v'tzod, and he did capture it. Shemalocha sheina tzlicha legufa, because even where he does not need, as we said in chapter 1, he does not need the malocha itself, he does not need the animal itself, nevertheless, chayev oleho, he is punished for it. Hatzod es hayoshin ves hasumo chayev, one who captures an animal that's sleeping or an animal that's blind, and it's much easier to capture it. The animal is already partly caught to begin with. Chayev, nevertheless, he's punished. Halochichav beiz, hamishaleach klovim. Halochichav beiz, hamishaleach klovim, kidei sheyatzudu tzvoyim v'arnevim chayetzibem, someone who has dogs, and he sends the dogs to capture deer or rabbits or similar animals, and the deer was running away from the dog, and the person went and chased after the deer, but he didn't capture the deer, or he stood in front of the deer and frightened it, but he didn't capture it, but he did this to give the dog an opportunity to get there, and the dog captured the deer. This is a derivative of capturing, because he assisted the dog to capture it, and he is punished. And similarly, one who uses birds in such a manner to capture some small wildlife is also punished. If a deer went into a house by itself, and someone locked the door in front of it, chayev, he is punished. If two people lock the door together, pturim. They are not punished, because we learned in chapter 1, two people who did a malacha together are not punished. However, if the door is so heavy that one person couldn't lock it, and two people locked it jointly, then they are punished, as we learned in chapter 1. One person sits in the doorway, and he didn't fill up the doorway. Now the second person sits down next to him, and he does fill up the doorway. The second one is the one who's punished, because he's the one who captured the deer. Yoshef Harishin below, if the first person sits down and fills up the doorway so that the deer can't get out, and the second person comes along and sits down next to him and further fills up the doorway, since the deer, it was captured anyway, he's not punished. And even though if the first one goes away, he stands up and goes away, Harishin Chayev, the first one remains punished, Vasheni Layosa Klum, the second person still hasn't done anything, because when he sat down, he accomplished nothing. And he can remain sitting there in his place until evening, and when Shabbos is over, he takes the deer for himself. To what do we compare this? Someone who locks the door of the house in order to protect the house, and he didn't know there was a deer inside there. It turns out automatically that there's a deer locked up and protected in there. He hasn't done anything, and he can keep the deer. If a bird flies in up someone's sleeve into his chest and stays there, since he didn't do anything, he can sit there and guard the bird until it becomes evening, and Shabbos is over, mutar, he can keep the bird. One who captures an old deer, or one that's lame, or one that's sick, or a baby deer, potter, he's not punished. If there is an animal or a bird that's caught in a trap, it's already caught, and he takes it out of the trap and takes it for himself, potter, he is not punished. One who captures a animal or bird that's already in his possession, such as ducks and chickens, or pigeons that roost in the attic, potter, he's not punished. One who captures some species that's not normally captured, hagazim, certain kinds of locusts, tseroyim, or hornets, v'yatushim, uparushim, certain kinds of mosquitoes and gnats, v'chayetzi boelu, or similar things, hariza potter, he's not punished. The remosim hamazikim, crawling things that cause injury, kigoy nechoshim, such as snakes, v'akrabim, scorpions, v'chayetzi boelu, similar things, afa pisha'ina b'misim, even though they are not deadly, since in fact they do bite mutalot, so b'shabbos, it's permitted to capture them on Shabbos. But only if it's his intention to save himself from being bitten and not to capture the thing to use it. How should he capture it without injuring himself? He takes a utensil and turns it over on top of them, or he puts something surrounding them where they can't get out, or he ties them up so that they will be unable to cause any damage. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 11.